Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, how many of you are ready? Say amen. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I know I'm not. Well, I know, I don't want to say I know I'm not, but 2 Timothy 3 and 1. You know, this. I was reading this over again today, studying for our message, and I thought, you know, if this isn't politics in America and the TV and the media and everything that's going on with sexual dysfunction, I don't know what is. But know this. Difficult times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of religion, holding to a form, a metamorpho, of godliness, but denying the dunamai, the power thereof. And the Bible says something really interesting. It says, avoid these people. And God help our country. Somebody say amen. Let's pick up. We left off the last time and we looked at the word truce breakers right here. And let me get you caught up, because you when you read this, guys and ladies, you got to understand the whole thing to understand the whole thing. You just can't understand one word. So when it talks about truce breakers, that's irreconcilable. It means people are irreconcilable, that they don't want to be reconciled. They want to hold a grudge. They want to be bitter. They want to think the worst about everything you say. They want to never give you the benefit of the doubt. They want to refuse to lay aside an offense. They are unwilling to listen. They are, in terms, irreconcilable. And then it uses the word diablo, where we get our word devil from. And it actually means they're false accusers. And it means they say things about you that are not true. It means they divide people. It means that their deal is to divide people. Let me tell you, Satan's greatest plan for this church is to divide us. But if God will help us until the return of Christ, we will remain covenant community, committed to God and to each other. Can I get an amen? And so it means falsely accused. It means to divide, diablo. He's the accuser. And it's very important that you understand accusations here. Okay? The next word is incontent in the Greek. And it comes from kratos, which is this word right here, kratos. And it means power. It means that these people in the last days are going to be without power for self-control. They're not going to be able to turn off the internet from pornography. They're not going to be able to lay down cigarettes. They're not going to be able to stop methamphetamines. They're not going to be able to control their tongue. They're not going to be able to stop talking negative about people. They're not going to be able to rely on the Holy Spirit. They will have no power within themselves to control themselves. And it means power without power. It means power without power over oneself. How many of you know that you got all you can handle sitting in that chair right there? Can I see hands? It's the way it is up here. No different up here than it is back there, let me assure you. And then getting to these new words. This new word here is anemoros, which is the word fierous. And it means they're not tame. I took the kids to the circus with Larry and Desi and all of them this year. And it's actually the best Shriner circus they've had in years. But I looked at bears, and they rode motorcycles. And I looked at pigs, and I mean a big pig, like my dad used to raise, sows, those big ones that would chase you. You ever been chased by a pig? Most frightening thing in the world. It was for me, anyway. And these big pigs would sit there and dance with poodles. And I watched elephants that weighed tons get on one leg and do turn around, and horses, and I watch animals be tamed. But the Bible says in the last days, you may tame a bear at the Shriner Circus, but you're not going to tame some men. Now you take and remember what I've taught you about this study of the Bible. This is related to that. You cannot tame yourself without power over your own abilities, having self-power. You have to have a power over yourself and keep yourself in check before you can be tame. And the Bible says not only will they not be able to be tamed, they're not going to have power over themselves. They're not going to be able to stop lying to you. They're not going to be able to stop drinking. They're not going to be able to stop cheating and stop being, and to show up on time and be a good worker. And so this word fierce means they're not tame. It means that they're, but it is deeper. It means they're ungentle. It means something that is not controlled, is ungentle. When I went to Africa and did the work for the HIV and AIDS, I took a safari, and there's this place that you stop. They would never allow this in America, but there was a cage with baby tigers. And you give them two or three rands, and you get to go inside and play with the baby tigers. There's four or five of them. And I've told this before in a sermon, but I was playing with this baby tiger. It's about this tall and about this long right here. And I thought I got a baby kitty cat in my hands. That was until that tiger took its paw and knocked my shoulder. And I realized that wasn't a kitty cat. It was a tiger. And I felt the force of the tiger. It looked not harmful. It didn't look harmful. I knew when it touched my shoulder and it swatted my shoulder, I was in a cage with an animal. I wasn't in a cage with the kitten that you feed Charles gives tomatoes to. I wasn't in a cage with that kind of cat. I was in one where it was ungentle and could not be tamed. And the Bible is beginning to show you that in the last days, people are going to act like animals. They're going to act like animals. They're not going to share their kill. They're going to eat it all. They're going to act like animals. They're not going to love people and forgive them and give them the benefit of the doubt. They're going to be ungentle. And if you want to be saved, say amen. Amen. Now, how many of you want to be sanctified? There's a difference. If you want to be sanctified, gentleness is one of the keys that you're growing in Christ. If you're getting untamed, if you are untamed, or you have no power over yourself, or you divide people and accuse them, and if you're irreconcilable, if you're irreconcilable, you divide people. If you divide people and you're irreconcilable, you have no power over yourself. If you're irreconcilable and you divide people and you have no power over yourself, you are not tame. Scriptures is a beautiful book that has so much precision to it. And so it means not tame. It means ungentle. It also means hard. You ever met somebody just hard to get along with? You couldn't do nothing right in their eyes? You know, I'm amazed. I always watch this time of year, but I watch it 365 days a year. When I see somebody ungrateful, buddy, I'll clam up. They'll never get another dime from this church. I've learned that over the years. You get ungrateful for what we're trying to do for you, you won't get squat. That's a Greek word for nothing. Somebody say amen. So untamed, not tame, ungentle, hard. People who are hard. People who have no heart. Not fond. It actually means literally in the Greek, not fond of what is good. Not fond, this word fierce, not fond of what is of what is good. All right? And so it means it's got a deeper meaning. It means the absence of self-denial. Now, this is interesting. See, this is this is the beautiful thing about Greek language. When you read the Greek language, you're looking at two words right here, just like you're looking at two words, ak and petros, ak, no, kratos, power, no power. Okay? Same in the English, but a lot different in the Greek. So when you look at these words, while it has this inner meaning, this constitution within itself, it also carries with it the understanding that there is an absence of self-denial. Now, isn't that interesting that the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul writing this would turn around and say, you have no power over yourself and you have no power to deny yourself. If you can't deny yourself, you can't have any power over yourself. People who don't deny themselves and always places themselves first will never have power over themselves. It's all related. That's why you always have to remember that when it comes to good characteristics in the Bible, like the fruits of the Spirit, there is an order. If you have love, you'll have joy. If you have joy, you'll have peace. If you don't have peace, you can't have love, because you've got to have love to get peace. Love is first, joy is second, and it is in a specific order in the Greek language. But when you get to sin, when you get to the vices in Galatians 5 and 18, there is never an order to the sins that the devil will try to institute in your life, but there is an order and a strategy in which he unravels your life. And one of those ways is for you to have character that you are unreconcilable and you hold a grudge. The least little thing anybody says, you get offended. Anybody, don't point, but anybody ever met anybody like that? All right. No, that's not you, Robert. You're irreconcilable. You are an accuser, and you have no power over yourself. And I don't mean to play politics, but let me tell you what I find absolutely fascinating about the culture today. That there is a man named Matt Lowry that went after another man that did the same thing he did, named Bill O'Reilly, and he felt confident to be his judge 3 or 4 months ago and lambast him on national television for the very things he's doing. That is the spirit of an antichrist. Because you accuse and you don't even have any power over yourself. And you're not fond of what is good, you're not tame, and you're not fond of what's good because you're not tame. You're ungentle, as a matter of fact. You're hard-hearted, and you're absent of self-denial. You're absent of self-denial because you have no power over yourself. You act like your father, the devil, because you accuse everybody and hold a grudge, and you're irreconcilable when somebody tries to make peace with you. But what is godliness? What is holiness? Everybody shout with me, sanctification. Sanctification is not being easily offended. Sanctification is doing what I had to do in a board meeting yesterday. I forgive you. Not here, another board I'm on representing our church, a global board. Sanctification is acting like Jesus, not the adversary, Satan. Sanctification is having power over myself. Sanctification is loving good. Sanctification is taming myself. Sanctification is being gentle. Sanctification is being soft-hearted. Sanctification is self-denial. Tupinos, humility. Doulos, a slave mentality to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So this is, just this is so beautiful. If you want to know how to please God, you want to know what the Holy Spirit can do in your life, if you'll just make the mistake of loving people more than you judge them. That's good preaching. I'm about to preach myself happy on a Wednesday night. It also means this, it comes with it that you're unfriendly and you're hostile. Have you ever met any unfriendly people? Have you ever met someone who was hostile? There are certain people that I've tried to be friends with. Matter of fact, there's a person out of 1,300 people that I've always tried to love in this church. And every time I've tried to love them, they've been arrogant with me. Never disrespectful, but arrogant. And now their whole life is falling apart. And I want to send a rope. I want to send one of those, what's those things when you're in a swimming pool when somebody's drowning? A buoy. I want to send a buoy, a Holy Ghost buoy that way. But I can't, listen, I can send buoys all day long to a human being, but they got to grab it. I can want to help somebody that's screwing their life up. But if they won't grab it, there's nothing I can do about it. And I've learned, I'll throw a buoy because I love you more than you love me, and it's not about me. But I'm only going to throw it so many times until you got to learn to grab it, and I'll leave it out there, and you can decide whether you're going to drown or live. But what is it, ladies and gentlemen, that makes a human being drown or live when it comes to character? Because this is really about how people act in the last days. But what it's really about is what godliness is and what godliness isn't. And it's really about sanctification and the process of sanctification in our life and what it means to be godly and holy. And so if you throw to someone a buoy and they're hostile and unfriendly, what's the lowest common denominator here? You take all these words, and these aren't all of them. Go all the way back to the 2 Timothy 3 and 1, and let me tell you what you're going to find in the beginning. I already taught you this. P-R-I-D-E. It's the same sucker that got Adam and Eve. It's the same one that tries to deceive me. Same one that tries to deceive you. It dresses up like all kinds of different characters, like Carol Burnett in the 70s on her TV show. But it's all Carol Burnett. And I love Carol Burnett. Especially Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. That's one of my favorite shows in the world. Tim Conway, when he walks like this, you know, with the hair. But pride dresses up as characters. Pride masks itself by not it receiving help. I went to help someone recently in this church and last month, and I got there and they said, I don't want to see him. Nothing I could do. Took 4 hours of my day that I did not have, but I don't want to see him. Well, sit in jail. What makes a person sit in jail instead of reach their hands forward and say, God, I'm going to humble myself and take some help? P-R-I-D-E. Make sure you're taping this because I want to listen to it again. P-R-I-D-E. What makes a man and woman fight and never say I'm sorry and go to bed angry with each other? P-R-I-D-E. What makes a man or a woman get offended easily? P-R-I-D-E. What makes somebody accuse someone else? P-R-I-D-E. What makes somebody irreconcilable? P-R-I-D-E. What makes somebody have no power over themselves? P-R-I-D-E. What makes somebody not fond of good, not tame, ungentle, hard, absent with self-denial, unfriendly and hostile? P-R-I-D-E. Pride goeth before a... And you see how I've taken you all the way right here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and looking at all these adjectives that are rooted in the original first part of it. If you go back to your notes, you'll see where I taught you that is rooted in pride. Now, watch this. Step on the opposite side of pride, and the fruits of the Spirit are love. Galatians 5:22, joy. What's another? The next one. Peace. What's the next one? Patience. What's the next one? Hello? Self-control. Now that's interesting. You want to do a good Bible study, Jocelyn? Go take 2 Timothy 3 and 1 and overlay Galatians 5 and 22 over this. Now the beautiful thing is, how many of you want to live right rather than wrong? How many of you want to be forgivers? Now I want you to hear me. If you don't forgive someone who, well, number one, you've got to forgive them whether they ask you to forgive them or not. Because if you do not forgive someone that's hurt you, even if you are the person who is the victim, if you don't forgive someone that has hurt you or done you wrong, the Bible says you will not be forgiven yourself. Now, I'm going to use some strong Greek language. That sucks. Yes, it does in the real world. You're the victim and you got to forgive somebody that hurt you, stole from you, lied on you, took your money when you gave them a job. No, if you'll make it through how you feel about it, and that's why I use a strong word, the Holy Spirit will lead you to where He softens your heart and you'll begin to love people who did you wrong. Because you know what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life? He's placing water on the cracked parchment of your dry heart. And if you've got a hard heart, there's only one antidote. Love. You want to be irreconcilable? There's only one key. Love. You want to not accuse people? Love them. You want to have power over yourself? Love yourself. And love God. I'm getting ready to preach a message, and it's going to sound so unusual for this community. And I was raised here. I'm a Western Kentuckian just like you are. But it's called God Likes Me. Now half of you get offended. Not at me, but you think, he's nuts. That's not good theology. Kevin, buddy, is some of the best theology in the world. Deborah, honey, God likes you. Let me go a little farther with that. And you listen carefully to my words. Do you realize that there is nothing that God finds particularly lovable about you? Now, what did you just say, you blasphemer? I said, Sister Bass, that there is nothing particularly that God finds lovable about you. Oh, I just thought you said God liked me. I did tell you God liked you. Well, that's an oxymoron. No, it's not. Because if my sense of self-worth is based on God finding something particularly lovable about me, the only way I feel love is if I'm lovable. And you've broken the laws of God. Because he loves you just as you are. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. You don't earn God's love. And you're not more loved when you're more lovable. So if you really believe that God likes you, and you really believe that there is nothing in particular that God finds lovable about you, what you're saying is that there is nothing that I'm doing that makes me love any less by him. And there's nothing that I'm not doing that makes him love me less. That I am loved by the beloved. And I didn't have to earn it. And it's not based on my value. It's not based on my sense of worth. It's based on unmerited favor. And you'll never understand grace until you understand that there's nothing that God finds particularly lovable about you that causes him to love you. Buddy, that's the price of admission tonight, right there. Now you take what I've just taught you, and you go right here, and find me one piece of the puzzle that you cannot unlock with love. And what most Christians don't understand, Galatians 5:22, it does not say the fruits of the Spirit. It is not plural. It is singular in the Greek. When you get saved, a seed, singular, is placed in you that is a strategic seed that develops your character, and it has a process. And it begins with, I'm getting ready to do a sermon series. I don't know which I'm going to do first. I'm either going to do Walk Like an Egyptian starting in January, and that's going to be a fun one. Or I'm going to do Healthy Emotional Spirituality. And to be healthy emotionally, spiritually, you have to understand that when you grasp discipleship, it begins with the awareness of God filling you with love. For God so loved the world, it caused him to give his best gift. John 3:16. So if you will work on one thing, how many want to be more like Jesus? I do. If you will work on one thing, that's why I'm concentrating on one thing on Sundays, the table. Because if I can get you around a table, I'll get a man and woman talking. I'll get you around a table, I'll get children talking. If I get you around a table, I'll build discipleship. I'll get you around a table, I'll put a hedge around your family. If I get you around a table, I'll knock the snot out of the adversary in your home. Is it just me, and am I just stirred up, or do you feel the Holy Spirit tonight dealing with us? If I can just get you loving. It's hard to love in an unlovable world. It ain't easy to love irreconcilable blasphemers that have no control over themselves and that hate good and are unfriendly. It's hard to love people like that. And don't ever forget 2 Timothy 3:1 is written for apostate leaders in the church. We ain't even really talking about the world. We're talking about the world in the church. The ones that are supposed to be saved, Billy. Supposed to act right. I'm all for grace, but I'm sick of sloppy living. If I can just get you loving. It's an atomic bomb. It's a missile stronger than what Kim has got in North Korea. And I want to remind you that there's nothing in this book that says an atomic bomb cannot go off before the coming of the Son of Man. And don't think that America is immune. I don't mean to be negative Nelly tonight, but America is about to receive the judgment of God. And if you want to miss it, you better get your hide and your family to the land of Goshen, where God protects the children of Israel coming out of Egypt while it's raining lice and the water's turning to blood. You better get your family to an ark. The world is going to drown, but there is a way of righteousness where God protects the righteous. You better be tithing and be faithful. Don't cheat God, because he'll give you bread when no one else can afford it, or he is a liar. A lot of people blaming God when times get tough in the coming future, but they never gave anything to God and wonder why God didn't never give them anything back. There's always a protection for the people of God. I don't care if it's Sodom and Gomorrah, Kenny. I don't care if it was Adam and Eve. I don't care whether it was Noah's Ark. I don't care whether it was Egypt and Israel coming out of Egypt in the land of Goshen. I don't care whether it was the early Christians in 300 or 200 with Nero, 100 AD with Nero. God has always protected his people. My question to you is, you know, it's those like science fiction movies. I have to take Aiden because I don't understand them. So I sit there the whole movie and say, Aiden, what's this mean? And Aiden, what did he say there? So it's like Star Wars. I understood Star Wars in the 80s. It was simple. I'm completely confused by Star Wars now. And I got to take Aiden and say, Aiden, who's that? He says, Daddy, it's so-and-so. And I'm being shushed by a 9-year-old in a movie theater. And he says, that's a stormtrooper, Daddy. And he says, this is this and this and this and this. So it's what's so amazing about this technological, futuristic understanding of postmodernism is that there's always some kind of special little thing you put inside them that changes them into a superhuman being. Let me tell you what that is for you. It is love. It'll unlock any sin. It'll unlock any dungeon. It'll unlock any bondage. It'll unlock everything in your life because it is a seed that gives birth to all other seeds. 2 Timothy 3:1, now go here with me. Ungodly, unsanctified living that begins with pride is a seed that unlocks all ungodly seeds. Pick up and understand that if you're irreconcilable, it's because you divide people. If you divide people and accuse people, it's because you have no power over yourself. If you have no power over yourself, it's because you're not fond of what of good. You cannot tame yourself. You're gentle, you're hard, you're absent. You never deny yourself. You're unfriendly and you're hostile. Two seeds, pride and love. Choose which one you sow and see what you reap. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise in here if you don't mind. Traitor. means unfaithful. It means lacking in being faithful. You know what my greatest prayer? The prayer I pray over you all the time is, God, let them be one as you and the Father are one. The second prayer I pray over you is, God, let them be loyal and faithful long term. Because I know that if you operate in love, you'll behave that way, and that the adversary will never be able to annihilate you unless you're alone or unstable or unconnected or a church hopper. Unfaithful, lack of faith. This next word actually means smoke. There's a word I've missed right here. Just give me 1 second. I'll close. I know it's a school night. P-R-O-P-E-T-E-I-S. It means before. Oh boy, this is good. The fall. Forward. My God, wait till you see this. Thank you, Jesus. If you're unreconcilable, it's because you have the characteristics of an accuser and a divider of the people of God, that you falsely accuse them. You have no power over yourself. That's why you're a false accuser, and that's why you're irreconcilable. But because you have no power over yourself, you're not a good person. You can't tame yourself. You're ungentle. You're hard. You're absent, self-denial, unfriendly, and hostile. You're hostile, unfriendly, and you never self-deny. Because you're unfaithful and you lack faith, because you are so full of pride, you fall forward. The Greek word there is heady. And it means that you're reckless. In other words, let me use a colloquialism. You ever seen people just fall over themselves because they're such a mess? That's it. And they fall forward. It's an interesting Greek word. What's it mean to fall forward? You fall forward into smoke. This word is smoke. To fail. Smoke. What kind of smoke? Smoke that's wrapped in a mist. Because it has puffed up itself by believing a lie of its own importance. Next word, because I'm out of time. This is so fascinating. This word here, lovers of pleasures, lover of God, actually means friend to pleasure. Nothing wrong with pleasure. But when you decide whether you're coming to church on Sunday based on what pleasure you have available to you, you're in sin. And it comes with the understanding that you elevate yourself above another person. In a form, morpho, which is where you get the word in Romans 12, how do you overcome the world? Through the metamorphosis, through the renewing of your mind, like a butterfly in a cocoon, a metamorphosis like the Incredible Hulk. Metamorphosis, metamorpho, it's the Greek word for form, and actually means devotion, true religion, and watch this. Talk about beautiful writing and inward holiness. this word godliness. This is this word. This is this word. And it means respect. Now watch. Let me explain it to you. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. When you become an irreconcilable person, you begin to divide people and you accuse people and act like you're better than everybody else and you say falsehoods about other human beings. You do so because you don't have any power to control your tongue and you have no power over your own self. The reason you have no power over yourself is because there's not any good in you. And the reason that you're not good, and the way we know you're not good, is that you're not gentle, you're ungentle, you're not tame. You're actually hard-hearted. You're absent of self-denial, because if you would deny yourself, you would be able to control yourself, which means you wouldn't accuse people and you would be smart enough to reconcile. However, you are unfaithful and you lack faith because you're reckless and you fall forward into smoke that has blinded you of your own self-sense of importance, and you have believed your own press reports to the place that you think your stuff don't stink and everybody else is the problem. And because of that, you have become a friend of pleasure. And if you were not a friend of pleasure, you would have never fallen into your own pride and believed your own smoke, and you would not have fell forward or been reckless or been unfaithful or been ungood, or been without power, or been an accuser, or irreconcilable. Because you're irreconcilable, an accuser of the brethren, and you have no power over yourself, but you have no power over yourself because you're not good, you're not gentle, you're hard-hearted, you're not tame, and because of you, of these things in your heart, your hard heart and your ungentleness, you have no faith. You lack faith, because faith requires love, and because of that, you are reckless, therefore you fall forward, trip your own self up, and believe your own press reports, which means you fall into your own smoke. You believe your own smoke you say about how important you are. And the reason that you did these things, or I did these things, or ungodly people do these things, is because they love pleasure. And why do they love pleasure? Because they elevated themselves above human relationships. And if you ever elevate yourself through pride above people, the end result is that you will elevate yourself above God. And you will not have true religion that is defined by inward holiness. And the respect that brings to your life as a man or woman of character. How many of you gotten anything out of this tonight? Amazing Greek language. Lord, I love these people. I love studying your word. God, it never ceases to amaze me. Whoever wrote this book is God. It is so well written. It is so strategic. It is so gentle. It is so stern. It is so simple and so complex and so detailed. Help us to eat it. But if we know all mysteries, we feed the poor, and we alleviate the suffering of Iranians, we bring a smile to someone who's dying of AIDS, and we have not love, we're a clanging cymbal. So my prayer that we have an inward holiness, and that will bring a life full of joy and very few regrets. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, it's good stuff tonight.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.